Never mind. The week before last, Sylvia and myself, we were travelling, and we were London Underground, Liverpool Street, going to St Pancras, carrying two cases, not the Ryanair type ones, no, proper cases. And being the macho man I still think I am, 50 years ago, after I first bumped into Sylvia, I'm carrying two cases down the steps when there is another train coming in, and suddenly everybody's coming up the stairs the other direction. And just for a moment, I'm thinking, let's go with the flow. Woof, they were coming. But then I thought the destination and where we were off to, so we persevered through and managed to fight our way and get on the train. Well, sometimes the Christian life is a little bit like that. Sometimes we feel as though we're going against the flow. Sometimes we can be tempted even to give up or lay low. Maybe sometimes we just feel discouraged, overwhelmed. Maybe if you live or work with someone who's not a Christian and all the time they give you a hard time. Whatever you do, they give you a hard time. So sometimes we can feel like I was when I was carrying cases down the stairs, going in the wrong direction. But I just want to take some time this morning just to think about it. Something. I headed this word up this morning, a people belonging to God. A people belonging to God. You know, I'll start with a few odd verses and then we'll just read a couple of verses what Sylvia just read to us. In Acts 24, we read about Paul who was, he was on trial for his faith and they accused him of many things which he didn't do, but he did confess to one thing. He said, we read that he said, I admit that I worship the God of our fathers as a follower of the way. And there are a few other verses in Acts that call Christians followers of the way. And then also in the book of Acts, we read about the fact that in Acts 11, verse 26, we read the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Christians meaning belonging to Christ. And then we'll just reread a couple of verses of what Sylvia's already to us in, if you've got the church Bible there on page 1218, we read in verse 7, it says, Now to you who believe, verse 9, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. I'm just going to pray. Lord, I pray, Lord, as we often feel in this world that we are going in a different direction to most people, we pray, God, that you will strengthen us this morning in our faith. We pray, God, that you will deepen our faith in you, Lord, that we can live our lives in this world to glorify your name. We pray your word will speak to us and encourage us this morning. Amen. So these disciples of Jesus were strikingly different to the culture in which they were living. They were given nicknames like followers of the way, Christians. And I want us to spend some time this morning thinking about what it is that makes us distinctive as Christians. What marks us out as different from our culture and those around us? You see, just because we come here as church, Christ Community Church is not another club, just another club in town or another society. We aren't even a religious group. We're certainly not a weird sect. What marks us out? I could ask you a few things, but don't do this because we'll be here one more. But I could ask you a few things. What marks you out that's different as a Christian? We could have several things. If we had a nice board, we could write them all down. But I just got four things this morning that I want to share with you that makes us distinctive. And the first one is that we have had a revelation of God. We've encountered the living Lord, right? We have had a revelation of God. We've encountered the living Lord. One that has drastically changed our lives. We've been chosen, the reading said, called by God. God has, by the Holy Spirit, has revealed himself to us. The Apostle Paul puts it like this when he wrote to the Corinthian church. He said, Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. You see, we are distinctive because God, through his Son, Jesus Christ, has reconciled us to God. God revealed himself to us. How amazing is that? The Creator God, the I Am, the self-existent one, the eternal, all-knowing, all-seeing, everywhere present, all-powerful, God of this universe, has revealed himself to you and to me if you're a Christian. As our scripture reading says, as a follower of Yahweh, a Christian, we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. A people who are declaring God's praise, as Matt reminded us a few weeks ago. We are a singing community. How distinctive is that? A God-worshipping community, how different to our complaining culture that is never satisfied and is deeply fragmented, always seeking someone else to blame. This is a distinguishing mark. We have encountered the living God who in his great mercy has chosen and called us to be his very own people. We are trusting in this God who has chosen us. We have been confronted by the gospel and through the Holy Spirit responded to the call of God on our lives. Paul writes to the Ephesian church and he said, common words you know, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of yourselves. This is a gift of God, not by works so that anyone can boast. You know, this morning, if you think you are good enough for God to make you one of his, then that's a sure sign that you are not a Christian. For we have nothing to offer God. We can do nothing of ourselves to save ourselves before God. Paul continues in that chapter. He says that all before God are dead in their transgressions and sins before a holy God. Friends, we missed the mark. We overstepped the boundaries set by God. However, for those who have encountered God in their lives and through revelation of God in their lives by repentance and obedience through faith have been transformed through Christ. More than anything else, this marks us out, distinctive from our culture in which we live and other world religions. So, what makes us distinctive? Number two, we have heard God speak to us. We have heard God speak to us. Not in a literal, audible voice, though. We read in about the Apostle Paul who did, and there are some who have experienced that. But we have God's spoken word written down for us. We have the Bible. And recorded in here in Holy Scripture is what God has said. The Bible, we call it the Word of God. Through the Bible, God still speaks to us today. And God still speaks to us who are called to be pastors and teachers who expound the apostolic gospel to us. We hear the Word of God as we read it and study it. We exhort one another, encourage one another. God speaks as we read his word. The Holy Spirit illuminates the words of Scripture and brings it to apply to our hearts and to our minds. But we live in a culture which increasingly is sceptical to truth. Although the world actually treats us as being very gullible to truth by the way they try and portray things which are falsely are not fact. We have spin, false and fake news. Increasingly, no one believes in absolute truth anymore. Who can be trusted? What can be trusted? Scam and con is the order of the day. We get emails in our inbox which look exactly like some company who we deal with, and it's a scam. Who can be trusted today? Even our same politicians, members of the same cabinet, tell us that the exact opposite is true. Brexit is the example. Who's telling the truth? Who can be believed? Pilate himself asked the same question before to Jesus. He said, what is truth? Well, God's word is truth. And God cannot lie or speak falsely because God's word is backed up by God's character. See, if we disbelieve and disobey any word of Scripture, then we are really disobeying God. God's word is authoritative and hence trustworthy. And Paul wrote to young Timothy to encourage him. And he said to him, look, Scripture is God-breathed. It's useful for teaching and rebuking, for correcting and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And Peter says something similar. He said, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation, For prophecy never had its origins in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. You see, we know that first Christians had the nickname people of the way, because Jesus said, I am the way. But then he also said, I am the truth. And time again in the Gospels, we have records of Jesus saying, I tell you the truth. See, God's word is truth and utterly reliable and trustworthy. And for us as believers, this is truth. This truth, this is God's word. And through it, we have heard God speak to us. And it continues to speak to us even this morning. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. This is one of the distinguishing marks of us as Christians. We believe in absolute truth. God said, he has spoken to us. And just a couple of perhaps practical comments. I just encourage you to read from all of the Bible. It's all God's word. It's all relevant for our Christian living. It all holds together, and there's a tendency for us to perhaps ignore some of the Old Testament because it's a bit harder. That's just Israel's history. But I encourage you to read from all of the Scripture. It teaches us foundational principles. And how we come to God's word, or just another comment, is the fact that, you know, we're so used to saying, as we read the Bible, what do you think it says? You know, what do you think it says when we read something? Well, really, it's not what I think. What has God said? We need to find out what the Bible is saying to us as Christians. And sometimes we can, how we think about Scripture is tarnished by our culture. We read the Bible through our culture and what our culture is saying. We need to find out what has God said. Of course, we need to help one another and discuss God's word, and we can do that in our community groups. We can try and find out what the word of God is saying and its context, and encourage one another in these things. But let's read God's word and give God a chance to speak to us. If we're a believer, he has spoken to us through his word, and he wants to continue to speak to us. So what is it that marks Christians so distinctive? Well, we have had a revelation of God. We've encountered the living Lord. Secondly, we have heard God speak to us. God has spoken to us through his word. And then thirdly, we've been singing a lot about it this morning. We've been born again to eternal life. We've been born again to eternal life. As followers of the way, this is a sure and certain truth. Let me remind you of some of Jesus' most commonly known words. Remember, it's in John 3 when Jesus was having a discussion with Nicodemus regarding the kingdom of God and how to be a Christian. And Jesus said to him, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. Born again? What are you on about? Nicodemus says. And then Jesus explains to him about a spiritual birth. And then Jesus said these words, I expect you've heard them, haven't you? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have not just life, eternal life. You see, we are different to our culture around us because we don't just live for life for the moment. Life is more than experience the moment. Life and living is not all about just me, my, and I. There's more to life than 70 years on or so on this earth. Death is not the end for the follower of a way, a Christian. We are on an adventure and journey of faith, walking with God, walking with God with purpose and with a destiny in mind. Even though life may be painful sometimes, hard at times, we have a confidence that God holds all things together. Paul says, God will work all things for our good, Romans 8:28. And nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, there are 30 references to eternal life in just the Gospels alone. For instance, John 5:24, Jesus again said, I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my words and believe in him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. See, eternal life is not the end result of faith in the saving work of Christ on the cross. It is. It is the end result of what Christ has done on the cross, eternal life. A bit further in that, John chapter 5, verse 28, he says, Jesus again says, "Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to life, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned." You see, the consequence of not listening to the voice of God and rejecting its message are spelled out for us here. Way back in that chapter, I was quoting from a Nicodemus encounter with Jesus in John 3, verse 36. Jesus go on to say, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him." Wow, that's a bit scary. The consequence of dismissing the truth of the gospel is eternal separation from God. Heaven or hell, where is it to be for you? Are you going with the flow of this world, or are you heading in a different direction? As a believer, a Christian, what marks us out is the fact that we have the assurance of eternal life. We believe in the resurrected Lord. Jesus said again, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die." I don't think I read that very well, did I? I'll read it again. "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. Whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Of course, we will all pass through the death of the body, but the soul and the spirit will live on. And I haven't got time this morning, but you could read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 the fact that this old dying, decaying body, you can't lift two cases so well as that used to be. It's going to have a wonderful new body one day. I'm looking forward to it. Every morning when I shave, "Lord, when is that going to be? Transform this body." Amen. And sometimes we often think, how can this be? This body decays, this body goes in the grave, this body disintegrates, but one day we're going to have a resurrected body. But have you ever seen an acorn, and have you ever put it in the ground and then come back 400 years later and see what it transforms into? Can you believe it? An acorn could disintegrate and become an oak tree. If we never seen a tree before, we would never believe it. But I don't know how it's going to work, but one day this old body is going to have a new one. Praise God for that. Jesus' death and resurrection, his shedding of blood to cleanse us guilty sinners, so that we could pass from death to life to eternal life. This is the gospel. This is the good news. As Christians, we were guilty sinners before a holy God under the sentence of death and stood condemned. Amazingly, God revealed his love for us. He spoke to us so that by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, we are saved to eternal life. Paul writes to the Corinthians, says, "What is seen is temporary, what is unseen is eternal." And the first statement of the Westminster Catechism, we never get no further than the first statement when we're in this church. The chief end of man is to worship God and enjoy him forever. Not for 70 years, forever, forever. And in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11, if you never found this little text, it says, God has put eternity into our hearts. Well, you'll be glad I'm on my fourth point. Okay, the last point. Why are we so different? What marks us out as distinctive? Well, we are in a relationship with God. We are in a relationship with God. There are a number of terms and phrases that describe this truth in the Bible, this reality. There are specific words that describe our individual relationship with God, and there are a number of terms that talk about our corporate relationship with God. For instance, John's Gospel 1 verse 12 says, "To all who received him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children born not of natural descent, not of a human decision, nor a husband's will, but born of God." Children, if you're a believer this morning, you're children of God, a child of God. What makes us different? We are in a relationship with the Lord God. And one of Sylvia's favourite verses, I could put her on the spot and ask her what it is, but better not. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. And even the Bible has an exclamation mark against it. And that is what we are. This fact is not wishful thinking for us as Christians. I think one of the most important things is that, I'll just read this verse from Romans 8, verse 16, because God, the Holy Spirit himself, testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. I don't think the world can appreciate this fact. When we became a Christian, we were born again. Spiritually, something happened to us in our hearts that affected our minds and our thinking. God begins to change our lives. God put a deposit of his spirit within us. We are body, soul, and spirit. And spiritually, we came alive. And God communicates with our spirit so that we know that these things are true. Whatever they might put information into a computer and get a printout the other saying, there's no God, there's no such thing as that, we know differently because we've experienced something and we have a revelation in our heart, this fact by the Spirit of God that we know that these things are true. Thank God for that. And Rob, in his recent series on Titus, he quoted from this verse in Titus, and it says, for our great God and Saviour Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. See, we gather this morning as God's very own people, a changed people, or in the process of being changed, eager to do good. Nudge someone who's sitting next to you because they've heard me long enough nearly, and I begin to nod off and just say to them, we are God's very own people. Just. We are God's very own people. See, there's no other people group like it. It's God's plan, as we've read at the very beginning from 1 Peter 2, verse 9. A holy nation, God's special possession. So consequently, we're no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. Of course, there's some other metaphors used in the Bible. We are the church, the bride of Christ, the temple in the Lord. Church is God's plan. If we are people of the way, if we are Christians, then we are in relationship with God, both as individually and as corporately as his people. The church, which is Christ, which Christ loves and has given himself for. So unless there are some real unusual circumstances, to be a follower of the way, we should be a member of Christ's church. We should be involved with God's household. And this marks us out as very distinctive, being in God's household, the church. This community of people is unique because in God's household there is no Jew or Gentile or slave or free or male or female. For we are all one in Christ Jesus. There's no discrimination in Christ's church. We're all equal. We're all children of God. We are of another kingdom. We may have British passports or some other kind of passport, but our names are written in heaven, the kingdom of God. God is gathering a people from every tribe, every language, every people, every nation to live in his eternal kingdom. We are in a relationship with God, who is our Father. How wonderful is that? So then, as I conclude, what is it that makes Christians so distinctive? One, we have had a revelation of God and an encounter with the living Lord. Two, we have heard God speak to us. Thirdly, we have been born again to eternal life. And fourthly, we are in a relationship with God. God's very own people. The world around us may laugh at us. It can ridicule us. It can call us nickname. It can belittle us, mock us, rubbish us. Many places around the world, even today, people are being persecuted, even martyred, because they believe in Jesus. They are God's very own people. Our culture obviously wants to silence us, and from time to time, when we are on the receiving end of perhaps ridicule, we can be tempted to lay low or keep silent or, well, blend in or go with the flow. But may these four things this morning be helpful for us to realize who we are as being special people and for us to keep focused. Let's be unashamed of the gospel. Don't let this world squeeze it into its mold or push it the way it's going. Let's not live by its values and its thinking. So then, what will be the outworking of these things? One, we should be worshippers of this great God whom we have encountered. As God continues to speak to us through his word, let's feed on the bread of life. It's spiritual food for the journey. It's get reading, believe it, obey it. And then thirdly, always have an eternal perspective on life. Then we will not be disappointed when the moment is not what we expected or wished for. Let's be assured of the hope of eternal life. Because Paul says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. One day we will walk into eternity. And fourthly, because we are in relationship with God, Jesus teaches us to say, our Father, call God our Father. Jesus has gone ahead of us to prepare a place for us in the eternal kingdom of God. A new heaven and a new earth is being prepared for the household of God, the church, the bride. Our future post-Brexit is great. Now the dwelling of God is with men and he will dwell with them. They will be his people and God himself will be with them and be their God. So then we are followers of the way. We are authentic Christians, chosen by God, God's very own people. Persevere. Don't give up. Never let the flow of our culture deviate us from our relationship with the God and Father and with his Son, our Saviour. And this morning, if you're with us and you're not a Christian, may I ask you, where are you heading? Where are you journeying to? Do you want to be on the same journey as us this morning? Well, Jesus is the answer. Amen. God bless you. Thank you.